Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into real cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit required. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. I'm Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor. Looking forward to today's show. We have Jonathan Von Tobel, host of Money Moves, on the show with us. Jonathan Von Tobel, how are you doing?
I'm good. Very much looking forward to, you know, this part of the year where college football slows down. So, you know, as me, somebody who really does, I know you do too, but you have to focus on so many different things. So there's fewer things to watch now. So more NBA, more college hoops. I very much enjoy this time of year. And of course, Christmas, which is, I'm a big Christmas guy.
Yeah, and ever since the pod started again, I've just been watching so much basketball. It's been insane. Like, my wife's like, you are always, always watching the NBA now, and it's true. Like, even, like, replays of games from last night I'm watching during the day. So, yeah, I've got the bug in a major, major way, which I think that everybody that listens to this would like to hear. So, it's a good thing.
Dude, absolutely. I mean, I remember the year in which they had made me the senior NBA analyst. And so my job that year, I didn't have a show. It was literally just going on shows every single day and doing the pod and watching. You really do. I mean, it's the best part because I think you really do get a read on how these teams are going to handle things. Even I'm sure you get a feel of it, too. These injury reports and how they're going to handle certain guys. You know, what questionable really means for certain players. And how teams want to handle those dudes, what it means when a guy participates in shoot around actually. So when you're actually got your finger on the pulse, I know a lot of people like to say it's a really difficult league to handicap, and it is, but that's only if you're dipping in and out. If you're there every single day like you are, you get a pretty good read.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of injury reports, that's where we should start with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Goes down last night with what I think a lot of people thought immediately was a torn Achilles tendon. It was not. It doesn't seem. It looks like it's just a calf strain. It looks like it's a minor one at that. But it's got to be brought up because, you know, they did end up winning that game. But it does look like Giannis is going to want to trade at some point in the near future. I wanted to talk about it towards the end of the show, but maybe we should just talk about it now. Do you think he's going to end up being traded in the next couple of weeks? Where do you think he should be traded to? And is there any spots that he could be moved to that you think actually impacts the title picture overall?
I mean, not really. I saw, I can't remember who it was, but we all think it. Look, the team that's got the package to easily go and get him doesn't even need him, and that's Oklahoma City. Like, the Thunder could, in 2 seconds, throw something out there and go and get Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know that he prefers the Knicks, but if you're Milwaukee, what do the Knicks have to offer that is comparable to what the value of Giannis Antetokounmpo is? So there's really not that much. I do think that the... You know, I threw out there on Money Moves the teams that make the most sense. San Antonio's got like a package of picks and young pieces that I think you'd be tempted by. I did see, I think, was it Bill Simmons who threw out, you know, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, for example, could you put something together around Trae Young that would be appealing to them? I think you might be able to pull that off. But I don't think there's that many teams that before the trade deadline would be able to make it happen. I'll never doubt it. These teams always figure out a way if they want a guy to go and get them. But I don't know if there's as many options during the season as we expect there would be for a guy like Giannis.
Yeah, I think that the Knicks one is interesting because, like, there's a chance that Milwaukee does want to send him to his preferred preference just because of what he's done with that franchise. He's won a title for them. He's been such a good trooper all throughout his career. Maybe they send him where he wants to go. But at the same time, there needs to be a very willing third team in order for that to happen because Milwaukee seemingly has no interest in Karl-Anthony Towns. It looks like they would want, you know, both Bridges and Anunoby. I don't even know why they would want that because, look, those guys are a little bit older right now. They're not going to be winning anything anytime soon. So I don't know. They need to find a team that would want any of these players and be willing to give them 2 or 3 first-round picks, and then you'd also need to get another 1 or 2 from New York. And there's really no young players going in that deal. So I just don't know how it makes sense for the Bucks outside of just doing him a major favor. And we haven't really seen a lot of teams that have been willing to do that in the past. So I think it's going to need to be a team that Giannis doesn't necessarily want to go to.
Dude, I'd be ruthless as a GM. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, that's great. You want us a title. Guess what? You're also asking out after you signed the contract. So, like I don't think I owe you really anything. You know, it goes back to the Damian Lillard thing with the Portland Trailblazers. We were all like, trade him to Miami. Especially, like, Heat fans are like, you got to trade him to Miami. You got to do right by him. No, I don't. He signed the contract here, and now he wants to get out of here. Hey, what happened to the other way around? How come he doesn't owe me anything as a franchise? So I'm shipping him off to whatever place I see fit if I'm getting the deal. And by the way, look, Portland did the right thing, you know, and that is the best part for their franchise. Like, they, I don't know if they've set themselves up. We'll see what Scoot Henderson is. But at the very end of the day, they weren't really going to get that much back from Miami. And at the very least, they did right by their franchise and they got the best deal.
Yeah, and I'm also like, I feel like I'm the only person in this camp that thinks that he should just stay in Milwaukee, because this summer they have another tradable first round pick. They have a lot of kind of contracts that they can put together to make a decent trade for a number two. And I do think that they actually are, you know, a good number two option away from being the best team in the Eastern Conference. I still think that the Eastern Conference is ripe for opportunity. I think that we've seen now Rion Rollins has really stepped up and become like a really good guard for them. I think Miles Turner is still a good center, maybe not as good as he was earlier in his career, but still a guy that can knock down threes, can defend the rim. And then you have some really nice pieces like AJ Green, Kevin Porter Jr. So I just kind of think that if they were to wait until the summer and just kind of let him hand pick a number two, they'd be right back to being, you know, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Even in an Eastern Conference with a heel Tyrese Halliburton and Jason Tatum? Because obviously if you wait till next year, then all of a sudden those two teams do become more formidable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Celtics are the one that like really kind of make that leap back up to contention. I'm not sure we see it from the Pacers because It just hasn't looked good. What we've seen out of the center position, and that team will be a little bit older, and I think they're going to lose some of their depth soon. But Boston is going to reload as well. But it's going to be, you know, kind of an arms race between teams like that to get the next piece and become, you know, the Eastern Conference contender again. So I would just kind of try to throw our names back into that hat and hope that Giannis can lead, you know, what would be a better supporting cast to the NBA Finals again. I think he can.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Either way, though, I will be like, I'm a rooter of chaos, like college football playoffs coming up this week, and or excuse me, the conference championships, and I want BYU to win. Like, I want absolute chaos. So, like, I would love for him to get shipped off to San Antonio because I think that would be great. And I just want to see that. You know, I think I've called it Giannis and Victor Wembanyama together, basketball porn. Because I just don't know what that looks like defensively and how you're supposed to, as a team, get over that, how you're supposed to find your way through that army of limbs to get to a rim or anything like that. It would be incredible to see in San Antonio, who's done more than tread water without Victor Wembanyama, all of a sudden finds itself in a Western Conference. Look, it's going to be hard to break through and get to past Oklahoma City, but I'd like to do it with Victor Wembanyama and Giannis Antetokounmpo. It would be a pretty good duo to go at it with.
Yeah, actually, one of my takeaways from last night was just how off I was on the Spurs, because they just continue to win, Even without two of their best players right now. I think that Mitch Johnson is just such a good coach. I mean, every time you see they do like the zoom ins on the huddles, you get him mic'd up. It's like, he's such an old school coach. He's like, embrace the boring. It's so good. I love it. He's got like that Doc Riversy voice, even though he looks so young, but he's just such a good coach. He's getting these guys to play just some great basketball right now. And if you were to throw Giannis into that mix and, you know, even taking away a Dylan Harper and some of the matching salaries, this is a team that could definitely contend. So that's probably the one spot that I'd say, like, if you were to make a move for Giannis, like, that isn't already a contender. Like, obviously Houston and OKC could do it and they would be just sensational if they were to get him. But the teams that are outside of that top tier right now that can make the move for him, that's the one that puts them into contention. I think he makes the Spurs a title contender and a team that the Thunder do not want to see in the postseason. So I'd be very interested in seeing that. And then I did kind of want to bring up, I guess we'll just do the trade stuff first. I have four picks for tonight. JVT has two. So if you're here for the picks, keep listening. We'll do them. But I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think about the Clippers stuff right now? Because obviously it's a disaster there. You're a Clippers fan. I think that there's now some really interesting trades out there with Harden and Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, coincidentally, I think that they'd both make some teams better, like both of them. I think that, you know, Atlanta would be a really good fit for, you know, both players. I think that, you know, Detroit would be a good fit for both of those players. And I'm just curious to, like, hear if you think that there's a move that makes sense for either of them.
I mean, I think, and I would assume that your pairing with Detroit is Kawhi going out there to Detroit, because I think that would be pretty nice for the Pistons to go and get a guy like Kawhi. All of a sudden, the onus of Kawhi, you know, needing to be the guy just is completely lifted, right? As Clippers fans and as the Clippers team, your whole entire existence is waiting for Kawhi Leonard to be healthy so that you have a chance. And now, if you join a team like Detroit, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, no, like, I can take my time, and we still have Cade Cunningham, and we still have all these good pieces. And I'm just going back to your original premise here. Look, I think it needs to get blown up. I think Ty Lue needs to go. I think you need to hand the keys over to Van Gundy. I think you need to ship off James Harden, who's actually been performing very admirably this year, as well as Kawhi Leonard, and just give a guy like Van Gundy a group of young, malleable players who you can instill your defensive intensity upon and actually make a team instead of an entertainment vessel that is just there to bend over backwards for whatever star you go and get. It's been absolutely ridiculous. And I don't, did you see, by the way, did you see Chris Paul's Instagram post or the
with
story?
With Blake and DJ?
Yep. Yeah, yep. And they're all FaceTiming and laughing. Like, dude, come on now. The Clippers have become an absolute bleep show at this point right now. And we haven't even included, of course, the off-court stuff with what's going on with them. And I made the joke, but clearly paying Kawhi Leonard under the table. This is really not something that is worth continuing anymore. So fire Lou, get them all out of there and see if you can just give the franchise, and I'll say too, like Clippers fans in general, just some sort of longevity and some sort of hope, some sort of young piece to kind of look at and go like, all right, cool. Like, this is going to be fun to kind of track and see, you know. I'll go back to, and I'm not going to say I knew what Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was going to be, but when they got Shea, it was exciting because I was like, oh, cool. Like, this guy might be kind of good and maybe a piece to either build around or a piece of the future. I didn't know he was going to be that. I don't think anybody did except for Doc Rivers, of course. But I think that it's just time to blow this thing up. And I'm with you. Like, if you go and get Kawhi, if you're Detroit, I don't know so much about Harden. I think Harden, are you thinking Harden to Atlanta? Because that would be somewhat interesting. And I would assume that if you're going to get Trae Young back in that, one of the things, because for those who don't know, the Clippers have set their books up so that they're clear. And I think it's 2 years from now, it might be a year from now, but either way, they really don't have anybody on the roster, on the active roster from a contract standpoint. Could I see Trae Young and Giannis Antetokounmpo together in LA? Absolutely. But I don't know if that would actually come and manifest, but either way, you got to hit the reset button, dude. It's an absolute nightmare. But of course, last night when I bet the Hawks, they go out there and dismantle Atlanta.
I mean, I think that all three of us, you, me, and Kelly Bidlin, all had the Hawks. And then, of course, we get the Jalen Johnson. Yeah. Yeah, just out right before the game started. Didn't end up mattering for me because I had the Magic to beat the Spurs in a parlay. But, yeah, I think that what I was thinking was that for Detroit, you bring in Kawhi instead of Lauri Markkanen. You get to give up a few less picks. And, you know, I think for the Clippers, it makes a lot of sense to get, you know, Jaden Ivey, Ron Holland, and you know, Tobias Harris's contract. Just to, you know,
love
a professional. Yeah, I know that's a really good trade for LA. And I think that, you know, for Detroit, you get a scorer and you get a better defender than Markkanen, too, when he is locked in. I just don't know that, you know, Kawhi and Uncle Dennis would go for Detroit as a destination right now. But I do think that you mentioned it. Like, Harden, for me, is the ATL fit. I mean, that's like as good as it gets in terms of, you know, they need to bring in somebody that can create offense, whether it's for themselves or for everybody else. And, you know, it could be Trey, but like there are limitations to what Trey can do defensively. And I think that we've kind of seen what Trey can do. I would like to see him take one more crack at it, but I know a lot of people have kind of just reached the limit and they just want to see Trey out the door. So bringing in Harden, who's a little bit better of a scorer, a little bit bigger, a little bit less of a liability defensively, that would probably be, you know, a really good one-for-one swap where you probably don't have to give up much in order to get him.
You don't think, I mean, Harden's, I think, an underrated transition player because he's very good at those outlet passes. So, like, if he gets a rebound or anything like that, like, he's very good at initiating. But I do wonder what that would look like with him out there slowing that game down and making it a little bit more half-court oriented with them because they're so good in transition. They're so big and long. But I think it'd be exciting. And look, as I won't say no to having Trae Young in the Clippers uniform, at least give me something to watch and something to have hope with every single night.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say on this is, like, I was listening to Bill Simmons and Max Kellerman the other day, and they were talking about the Clippers, and they were talking about how this is the darkest time in LA history.
No,
which is not true. I mean, but it's bad, but like it's funny. But they were doing this a day before the Chris Paul stuff happened, so like I wish that it was the next day because the Paul stuff is just so embarrassing and so just like disgustingly disrespectful to that player. Like I tweeted it yesterday, like this is a guy that's in his 21st season in the league. He's been with your organization now for parts of seven seasons. You know exactly the type of leader he is. How did you not know that he would be vocal and be trying to fix this thing himself? Because like it is such a nightmare to start the year that like obviously Chris Paul was going to try to be barking at everybody and, you know, right the ship. And this is a guy that makes every single team he's ever been on better in year one, but you're kicking him out the door because your dumb superstars can't handle his leadership and your coach, who's been awful this season, can't handle, you know, having like a veteran leader and proven winner in the locker room kind of questioning what's going on.
I've watched a lot of bad basketball as a Clippers fan. The Vinny Del Negro years and more. So I think there's darker days to be had.
All right. Well, let's move on to tonight's game. You guys have waited long enough. It starts at the Warriors at the 76ers. This game tips at 7 p.m. Eastern. The Sixers are favored by 3.5 points in this game. Total's 223.5. This game is the only game that's televised nationally tonight. It's on NBA TV. And unfortunately, it's a game where Steph Curry is out. Jimmy Butler, Al Horford, Jonathan Kuminga, and Quentin Post all questionable for Golden State. I don't have anything here because of that crowded injury report. Do you have any leans or, you know, bets?
Nope. I think you nailed it. I mean, what am I supposed to do with a game like this when there's so many cues on the injury report? You have no idea who's going to be in, who's going to be out. I mean, we even saw the other day, wasn't Joel Embiid officially, and when he came back, he was out to start the day, then got upgraded and then initially played. So a doubtful could mean anything at this point right now. And I don't know if it was you. I can't remember. Time is a blur. But I've gotten many angry texts about the Philadelphia 76ers. I know Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, the odds maker over there that's handling their NBA lines and their golf odds, you, many others. I'm just kind of tired of this game with Philadelphia. You talk about making trades and ripping the Band-Aid off. Go swap Joel Embiid for like Anthony Davis, and let's just be done with this nonsense, because I'm tired of sifting through these injury reports every day with Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I have written down here like Philadelphia -3.5 and like money line at -152 is like the slightest of leans for me. If like you're desperate for action, you're like, oh, I'm turning this game on no matter what. I'm not watching Cowboys Lions. I'm watching Sixers Warriors with all the injuries. If you are one of those people, I commend you. But I would say, you know, Philadelphia is the lean. But yeah, it is a nightmare with the Sixers right now. And yeah, Embiid playing through an out tag is like awful. I mean, that's why I suggested to you, like, if your player's out, he's not allowed to play. Yeah. If you put him on the injury report, he cannot play. I don't know why it's not that way anyway, but yeah, we'll move on. That game is awful. So yeah, let's go to Celtics Warriors, 7 p.m. Eastern tip. Celtics laying 10.5, totals 230.5. I'm actually surprised that you're seeing Boston as a double-digit favorite in this game because Jaylen Brown is doubtful. Yep. I don't know what you have here, but I'm only going to be looking at player props still.
Okay, so I think player props, but I think it'd be Washington or nothing. I mean, you mentioned the fact that I'm with you. I'm surprised that we're kind of starting to see this head in the direction of Boston if we get up to like 10.5 or so. But here's the thing, you know, I was kind of going through this recent run by Boston, and for the audience, if you listen every day, I'm sure you've been covering it. You know, they've covered their last 5. They're 6-1 against the spread in their last 7. If you go back to November 12th, they're 7-2 straight up and against the spread. They've been pretty good. But if you really sift through it, you kind of wonder how sustainable this is for Boston. They're shooting over 42% of their attempts from beyond the arc and shooting 40% on those shots. So they're just red hot from three. They're averaging over 16 three-point makes per game. And it sounds like Missoula's bag. It's exactly what they do. But one of the things that's kind of telling, if you look at cleaning the glasses, location effective field goal percentage. So what would this team's effective field goal percentage be if they just shot league average from all of the spots on the floor in which they're shooting? Boston over this stretch is 29th. It would be 53.2. So they're just inexplicably hot over this run that they have been on. And I do wonder if, like, there is an expiration date here and if it's coming up soon. I would lean toward the Wizards. Like, again, I always say, you know, when there's a theory that I want to test out, do I want like a better weapon to test it with than the Washington Wizards? Potentially. But the Wizards have shown out in a couple of spots, especially at home, catching some big numbers. So I lean pretty heavily here toward Boston, especially if we get up to like 10.5, if it continues to head in that direction. I think the Wizards might be live, and especially if I grab like 10.5 and Jaylen Brown doesn't end up playing. But I think I'd lean toward Washington. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on player props, because I do have a player prop question for you in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I have right now is Peyton Pritchard over 21.5 points at -125. The Wizards are just the worst team in the league at defending transition. Bottom 5 in the league defending above the break threes, which is where Peyton Pritchard scores like 50% of his points. Like, everything is a bomb from, you know, the top of the three-point line or anywhere on the wing. But this is also a team that's 28th in the league defending at the rim, 28th defending pick-and-roll ball handlers, I believe 28th defending dribble handoffs. Like, all of the stuff that Pritchard does well and all the stuff that they do to get him good looks, it kind of sets up really nicely for a really strong Pritchard game. Obviously, if Brown sheds that doubtful tag and ends up playing, I'm in really bad shape because Pritchard's probably not going to score 22 if Brown's out there. But I do think that if Brown misses this game, you're going to see absolutely insane volume from Pritchard. And I do think there's a chance that he flirts with 25 to 30 points.
So this is not my question, but I would say, don't you think he's going to not play today? I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the year, remember he had that hamstring injury coming out of camp, and then he's played every game since, Jaylen Brown. you wonder if they're just, you just got to give the guy a night off. At some point, you would think they're going to give him a night off. And on a road game against Washington, where you would think that you have a pretty good shot of getting it done even without him, tonight would be the night. My question is, what has happened to Keyshawn George in this recent stretch for the Washington Wizards? For the audience who hasn't known, these last five games for him, we've seen his usage drop. It used to be like a quarter of possessions were going through him. Now it's barely over 20%. I mean, really, the big thing that sticks out is the shot attempts. After regularly putting up like 14 to 17 per game almost, and just over 12, the last five, we're talking about 7, 14, but then 6, 11, and 11. Shooting percentage hasn't really been there. The assists are still kind of sticking around, but I don't know if this is just like a little bit of a blip on the radar or what, but his production is like falling off a cliff the last couple of games.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like fatigue or something, just not being used to being like the main engine of a team, you know, like really throughout his entire career, like he hasn't been that. So maybe it's that. I mean, it is early in the season. He is young. He probably shouldn't be that tired. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen him play better. I actually did consider George to have over assist tonight, just because like I do think this is going to be a game that's played in up and down tempo. But
yeah,
I ended up staying away from it. It is a concern of mine. I do kind of think that from what I've seen of Washington over the last couple of weeks, like there's been a lot of CJ McCollum, like way more CJ McCollum than you'd want for a rebuilding team. And I love the way that they were playing early in the year when they were just rolling the ball out to George. So I would like to see them go back to that. But it is definitely something that I have noticed as well.
Yeah, that's the so the points and assists for him is right at his average. I think it's like 20 and a half at last look. And I was kind of tempted to play that over because the other part, of course, is with Saar out, their shocking leading scorer, I thought that George would just be like, all right, cool. Here's like 17 shot attempts per game. Like, let's just let the kid do it. And that hasn't been the case. It's been the opposite. You've kind of seen a dip. So I would expect here that maybe this is a good opportunity. So I'm still playing with maybe betting George over. I want to see what the market does. But if there was a game, like you said, you might be able to get up and down the floor. You might have more possessions. Again, Saar's been at the last two, again, out today. So like some of those shot attempts, you know, if you're coaching this team, I'm kind of in that huddle and in the game planning going, hey, CJ, let's give the kid a couple more here, okay? And maybe that allows him to have a good performance tonight.
Yep. And by the way, you are right. Like the Celtics, I believe, play the Lakers tomorrow night. So Brown should sit this game and play tomorrow. Yes. And yeah, and I will mention just, you know, quickly that the Pritchard play is a play for me. That is one of my best bets for tonight, not just a lean. So Pritchard over 21.5 points. For those of you who haven't joined VSiN Pro yet, we've extended our Black Friday special for one final week. For just $60, you'll get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bronco, the AI prop tools from OptAI that everyone's been talking about, and the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus full coverage of every major sport from now through March Madness, the NFL Draft and the Masters. And with our college football playoffs betting guide dropping next week, the timing could not be better. The Black Friday special ends after Sunday, so don't miss out. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. As you know, JBT, this is definitely our best offer of the year. It's like $12 a month all the way through May. We get a lot of content. I think that everybody really should join at the moment.
I always say, I don't know if our bosses enjoy me saying it, if you're paying full price for VSiN, what are you doing? I mean, there's been so many deals. There's so many different ways to get it in. Go ahead and check it out. Go to VSiN.com. A lot of great work up there and a lot of great podcasts as well that are added to the library.
If our bosses are listening, I don't agree with JVT at all, but it is a good time to try. All right, let's move on to Jazz at Nets. This is a game where the Jazz are 4.5-point favorites. Total's 232.5. This is a pretty interesting game to me because I absolutely love watching both teams. I'm like a really weird person that likes watching Jordy Fernandez coach this Nets team, especially with the lack of talent. But I wonder, do you have anything in this game? Because we both had the Nets last night. We both won that game. You guys did not like my analogy of saying that it could have been like drunk McDonald's if it was going poorly. But I do think that was an interesting one.
So what was the analogy? Kelly just said that you called McDonald's at night when you're drunk disgusting, and you refuted that.
I said that if this starts to go bad, backing the Nets last night, it might feel disgusting, like how you feel when you begin eating the drunk McDonald's. It's like, it sounds exciting when you're doing it, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to feel this tomorrow. But I do think it's delicious. It is very good.
I don't know. I still have to push back on that, but we don't want to waste any more time. Situationally, it's not great for Brooklyn, right? Third game in four nights, second leg of a back-to-back, so you don't really like that initially. I don't know, man. Having said that, I will say, like, I did one of those where you kind of look at the matchup and then you look again, you're like, really? This open Jazz 3.5, huh? Like, I understand that. I think that of the two, if you do man on the street, Utah is considered to be the more competent team. It's not exactly like they're blowing teams out of the water with this cover rate that they're on. They're kind of just swapping covers and non-covers. Really have been a slight bet against team in recent stretches. I think that if the injury report is relatively clean, I actually might be tempted to come back to the well one more time. I understand that this is a big rest advantage too, not only the second leg of back-to-back of three games or four nights for Brooklyn, but the fact that Utah's had the last 2 days off. So that's what probably will keep me away from this ultimately. But from a pure number standpoint, I do think I'd lean a little bit toward Brooklyn. It's not like Utah's coming in and stopping anybody, and your floor is raised as an offense anytime you're taking them on. But I have really gotten caught with my pants down trying to fade some of these. Hey, that number's a little too high. Maybe the market's accounting too much for the situation, and then watching a team just loaf around out there in a really bad scheduling spot. So it would be Brooklyn or nothing, but I didn't have anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably lean Jazz, but like at the same time, like throughout the Will Hardy tenure, like it's been a competitive team at home and then a really bad team on the road. So not exactly a spot that I trust them in. I do have Ace Bailey over 12.5 points tonight at plus 100. He's played 28 minutes in four of the last five games. He scored 13 plus in seven of the last 10 and 15 plus in five of those 10. And then, you know, some of the stats that just like really appeal to me here. The Nets are a bottom five team in the league, defending spot up threes, transition opportunities, and shots at the rim. Bailey, that kind of fits his shot profile perfectly because he is a player that primarily, you know, operating off the ball, finishing dunks right now, finishing in transition. I think there's a really good chance that he has 13 plus tonight. And we have seen some, you know, wings in the molds of Bailey have solid games against Brooklyn over the last couple of weeks. And I don't really think that that slows down here. The only thing I really worry about with Bailey is he has gotten himself into foul trouble occasionally, can, you know, kind of take himself out of a game early on by being a little lackadaisical, but I do think that he has a decent game tonight.
Yep, I think that makes sense.
All right, and then let's go to Lakers-Raptors. This is a game that I was really excited for until the injury report came out. The Raptors are 2.5-point favorites. Total's 228.5. Unfortunately, no Luka Doncic tonight because I believe he just had a child again. Is it maybe his second child? But he will not be playing here. Yep, I think that he will be playing next game, but it looks like he is not going to be out there tonight.
I didn't know he had a. Kid. That's I didn't know
could
he had
be
one.
Wrong there.
I mean, good for him. He's a virile young man. All right, so I think there's a couple angles here, but the first one is I laid 1.5 with Toronto. This is one of the bets that I've got for the slate here tonight. Looking at this, obviously, no Luka Doncic is a very big deal here for LA, a team that's kind of been living on the razor's edge, you know, winning these clutch games. They're 6-0 in clutch games so far this year. That is unsustainable. Every single metric points to them being a fraudulent is strong because that implies that you're not good, but just not as good as the record indicates at this point right now. They're a middle of the pack defensive team. And I think one of the big things that's really going to hurt them here, Toronto really quietly has been great at rim pressure. They get to the rim with frequency. They shoot relatively well. And this is a Lakers team that's 15th in opponent shooting at the rim in terms of frequency. 31% of opponent attempts come within 4 feet of the basket. And they're 29th in overall rim shooting by opponents. 71% is a very, very poor number. And they run a lot, Toronto does. They're not as efficient, but I think a lot of it is because they run so often. And so if you're going to allow this team to get out, to get shots at the rim, to run, I just don't think it's a great matchup for the Los Angeles Lakers, especially when you don't have Luka to kind of not only slow it down, but also help you swap blows, if you will, offensively. I think it's a good spot for Toronto. I've got a player prop angle that I want to discuss with you, too, but I do think Toronto's the side here to back.
Yeah, I'm taking the Raptors money line minus 125. That's going to be a little bit of a bigger play for me. I mean, you just mentioned it. Toronto's a very aggressive team. They play fast. They're also quietly top 10 in the league in both half-court offensive and defensive efficiency. And I just think that a lot of people don't realize how well this team is playing right now. You know, granted, they will be without RJ Barrett and Jakob Poeltl tonight. Not absences that, you know, should be ignored, but, you know, that is fine when you're talking about a trade-off of the Lakers not having Luka. And I do think this is a game where I'm looking at the betting splits on VSiN.com, available to VSiN Pro subscribers, and you have a lot of people on Los Angeles right now. I wonder if people just don't know that Luka's out, or if they just don't know that Toronto's pretty decent. But either way, like, I think that the Raptors are the right side in this game. I think that it's a really good price to be getting. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Raptors, and I do have this to win 1.5 units.
So I'm curious, the player angle here, I wanted to get your thoughts. Let's go back to the three games without Luka Doncic, in which Austin Reeves had everything at his fingertips. 22.7 field goal attempts for Austin Reeves in those games. That's a lot. 10 assists per game. It's a lot. A usage rate of 35.9%. It's very high. For context, all the other games that he's played this season, all of them with Luka, 15.1 field goal attempts per game, 5.8 assists per game, and a usage rate of 27.6%. So I think it's somewhat easy to come in and go, cool, we're going back to the well with Austin Reeves. The fly in the ointment here is that LeBron is back. LeBron was not there for those three games. So am I barking up the wrong tree going back to points and assists for Austin Reeves, considering that since LeBron's come back, it's not much, but he actually does have a slightly higher usage rate than Reeves. And if this is non-Luka, is J.J. Redick going to just say, hey, you know what, let's just let LeBron run this thing? And J.J. Redick, I will say really quickly, is not one to not also genuflect at the altar of LeBron. The other day when your team was blowing him out and he's trying to scream at LeBron down the court in the middle of a possession while LeBron's just sitting there chatting with your team's bench, J.J. Redick is also willing to acquiesce to the gravitas of LeBron. So I'm not entirely sure a lot of people listening to this would go, no, J.J. Redick wouldn't let that happen. No, he would. And I'm worried that maybe Reeves is the wrong angle just because LeBron's going to come in and kind of say, nope, this is my show and I'm going to run it.
Yeah, I mean, Redick's tough and he has the respect of the players. So you're right. Like, I think that he's going to play this game the way that he wants him to play it. And you mentioned it, like, when Luka was out, Reeves averaged 50 points and assists per game. So it's hard to say that that's a bad number to go to if it's, you know, available at 36 and a half right now, maybe a little bit. Yeah, 36 and a half. I would say that the over is the right call if you're looking for something there. I do think LeBron's going to be a little bit more aggressive tonight, strictly because, like, he had 10 points last game and looked awful. And, you know, with Luka out, I think that he's going to be interested in just, you know, kind of getting himself going again. But I just think a lot of it just looks bad for LeBron. I've mentioned it a few times on here. Like, he's not moving as well. I think his jumper looks very, very different to me. I don't know what it is exactly, but something about his lower body just looks strangely different. And I think that he's also just, I don't know, just chucking it up in a way that, like, I just have not been used to him shooting it. So I don't know. I'm interested in seeing if he turns it around.
Well, this is his preseason, though, right? I mean, he sat out all of camp. He missed the early portion of the year. So I know a lot of people are thinking they're throwing out, like, the old thing. I'll save that for a little bit and say that this is his preseason. This is his camp. He wasn't really doing that much. And so now, because my mind is mush. It was a lower body injury, right? That was keeping him out anyway. So
yes.
So that's going to be something to monitor here. I think he's going to be fine. But the early going, when he looks old and heavy and not as explosive, I think that's partly because he's in training camp mode while everybody else is, you know, 20-ish games into a regular season.
Yeah, and I should say, like, I don't think he's washed. Like, I do think he's on the decline, but I think he's going to be a good player for them. I think he's going to be a very good starting power forward, and I think he's going to put up pretty decent numbers until the day he decides to hang him up. So not saying that he's just not really able to contribute whatsoever. So, yeah, I agree. I agree, though. All right, well, let's do this last game. It is Timberwolves at Pelicans. Timberwolves laying 11.5, totals 234.5. I have a really weird player prop in this one. I'm going to Micah Peavy, over 6.5 points at minus 127. He had 8 points against Minnesota the other night, 7 plus points in 5 straight games and 7 of the last 9. And one of the things I like about him is that I think he's kind of blowout proof. So if Minnesota wins this game by double digits the way that Vegas expects it to happen, I do think the PV is going to play the fourth quarter. I think this is a player that they're trying to develop in every way that they can. I think that it's a good opportunity that if they are down a lot of points, leave him out there, get him some reps. And even if they're not, I think you get 20 plus minutes and, you know, he gives them that really good energy that he's been giving them defensively and just kind of finishes at the basket, makes some plays in transition. Not a player that I think that a lot of people know right now, but definitely someone that has kind of flashed for them a little bit. And I did consider, you know, Derek Queen assist because that's been kind of my bread and butter all year. But at the same time, the number has gone up. The odds aren't as good. And he had 6 assists last game. He won my ladder for me, but he only had 8 potential assists. So I think he has a worse game tonight.
The passing's insane. I mean, Queen's been awesome. I did not expect like this at all. I don't know if a lot of people did. Obviously, you know, he's a 13th overall pick, so you expect that he's going to be relatively good. But the fact that he's hit the ground running and his ability right now is absolutely incredible. Because I was going to bring up, I mean, so last game out, an incredible 21-8-6 in a game that was 149-142. But his points and rebounds today is sitting at 23.5. Like, that number I think seems relatively high with the team that has the size that Minnesota does, but he's been absolutely incredible, and I don't want to step in front of that train.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the trade is going to be ripped apart forever, especially if it ends up being a top three pick. But, like, there is a world where he's an all-star and, like, Joe Dumars feels pretty good about it. And it's just like, yeah, sure, whatever. I got the guy I wanted. Because, yeah, I've said it before. Like, I don't know if it's quite Joker level, but, like, it's definitely a little Shengun-y. Like, the way that you could just kind of throw the ball to him at the top of the key and just let him run the offense. Like, this is a guy that has been awesome as a passer this year. He is a good scorer. I think he's going to be able to shoot someday. But, yeah, definitely one of the few bright spots in what has been an awful Pelican season.
And they got Fears too, right? So, like, yep. Fears is also, like, there's you at least have, unlike some teams, the Clippers, you at least have two really young dudes that you're like, okay, you know, we've got something here over the next couple of years that we can build on. I don't know if they're going to be the guys, but at least we have some guys that we would be part of, you would assume, you know, a solid roster if you can put the other pieces around them properly.
Yeah, I mean, the talent in this draft class has been great. Like, Dumars is going to feel really good about it. I know that everyone's going to rip them for the trade, but he is probably feeling great about the two players that he added to his team.
Rookie class is awesome, dude.
It is. It is. All right, well, we got to recap our best bets, but first, time to put your Hoops IQ to the test with Better Picks. Open the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite players' points, rebounds, and assists, then watch the sweat in real time. Use code VSINPOD for $10 free, no deposit needed. Plus, Better's got insane multipliers, up to 1,000x on just two picks. Download Better, BETR, and get in the game with promo code VSINPOD, VSINPOD. All right, JVT, let's run down our best bets. We've kept the people here long enough. What do you have for tonight?
Both in the Raptors game, Raptors minus the 1.5, think up to 2.5 threes playable as well. So I know that's heading in that direction. And we will try it out. We'll go Austin Reeves over 36.5 points and assists. You can find that at minus 115.
I like it. I've been really in on player props this year. I've been having more success with them than I think ever. So I'm happy that you're on the train and you got one for today. I've got, like you just said, I'm on the Raptors too. I took the money line at minus 125. That's my biggest play of the night. I'm playing that to win 1.5 units. Everything else will be just to win a flat unit. But Peyton Pritchard over 21.5 points at minus 125 against the Wizards. Ace Bailey over 12.5 points at plus 100 against the Nets. And then Micah Peavy, who everybody knows, over 6.5 points, minus 127 against the Timberwolves. All right. Well, that is all for today. We got through a lot. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoyed the trade banter. I've been wanting to do that with JVT for a while. Probably going to suck Kelly Bidlin into some of it next week. But yeah, good luck with your bets tonight. And make sure you join us for the Friday edition of Hardwood Handicappers.